We're told that Hans Leo Hassler is generally reckoned by many as the greatest German composer of the late Renaissance. A musical public that knows very little of his work still might recognize his so-called Passion Chorale, used by Bach in the St. Matthew Passion, to the text, O Haupt voll Blut und Wunden, O bloody head sore wounded. This was not, however, the Passion Hassler had in mind, for the work started out as a song, Mein Gemüt ist mir verwirret, my head is all in a whirl, over a girl, of course. Whatever he may have been in his life, Hassler was said to have been a merry man in his songs. It's not surprising that his earliest separate publication was a volume of 24 canzonette. Like Thomas Morley in England, Hassler seems to have been particularly fetched by the balletti of Giovanni Castoldi and others, and imported their fa-la-las and other characteristics into his native land. He also did a book of madrigals for various combinations of voices, words of the late Dr. David Green of Lehigh University in his Biographical Encyclopedia of Composers. We know that Hassler wrote sacred music as well. We'll have a rare chance to hear one of Hassler's masses this Wednesday at St. Paul's Episcopal Church, East Main Street in Bloomsburg. The project is coordinated by the Reverend Howard Sasser, with musical direction by Dr. Alan Baker, professor of choral and vocal music at Bloomsburg University and artistic director of the Lyric Consort. Dr. Baker paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about this special offering.
Who would think that you could hear a Renaissance Mass in its historical setting within a liturgy with the surrounding Gregorian chant and all that, like on a Wednesday night in Bloomsburg, but that's going to be the case next Wednesday night, the 29th, at 6 p.m. at a really beautiful church there called St. Paul's Episcopal. If you don't know the building, it's a little gym right there, kind of hidden in, not really hidden, it's right on the main drag in the downtown, but it was built in like 1868 to 1870, you know, so it's old Victorian kind of Gothic revival. And with wonderful acoustic, like all those things were when they were built before electricity, they built them great.
And so the idea is then to allow us to experience it as it was intended or as it was composed to be heard, at least in a certain way.
This is a continuing series of kind of spiritual type events that are being put together across the year by the Reverend Dr. Howell Sasser. I just know him as Father Howie, who I think lots of people know in Bloomsburg as Father Howie. Well, it's being put on through the Protestant Campus Ministry at Bloomsburg with grant money from Episcopal Church USA and the Diocese of Central Pennsylvania. He said he wanted to expose students to a range of ways of expressing spirituality to give them a taste of the intellectual, cultural, and literary riches of the Christian tradition and to provide an opportunity for people of multiple generations to meet and discover things they might have in common. And that will be the case here because it will be Bloomsburg University students performing for Bloomsburg University students. The Lyric Consort, my little 8-voice a cappella group, which sings a lot of Renaissance music, will be a part of this as well. So we have the 8 of us from the Lyric Consort, 8 Bloomsburg University students to form this Renaissance choir and to sing this Renaissance Mass and also the Gregorian chant propers. So it is a nice mixing of the generations. We know this music well, we love this music, but for my students, it's a novel experience to do it this way.
Now, Hans Leo Hassler is the composer?
Yes. Looking on the calendar, it was the closest kind of major feast was the Feast of the Annunciation, Gabriel's announcement to Mary that she was going to bear the Christ child. So Hassler wrote a mass called the Missa Dixit Maria It's what we would call a parody mass or an imitation mass. Or he wrote a motet on the text Dixit Maria, which basically is just the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and makes this announcement. That's the text of the motet. And it was common in the Renaissance, especially the late Renaissance, to take something like that. Not even a motet; it could have been a madrigal. Sometimes there were these kind of body French chansons or body Italian madrigals, and use them as the basis for all of the movements in the mass. It's neat to do it this way, because if we did that in a concert, it's kind of too much of the same close together. Okay, movement one, movement two, movement three. It's like, boy, this all kind of sound the same. But when it's spread out, it was as it was intended to be spread out throughout the liturgy with Gregorian chant, unaccompanied monophonic Gregorian chant happening, then I think you kind of get that more of a sense of how special this music would have been. It wasn't that everything in the Mass was sung in this wonderful Renaissance harmony. It was just a few places, and with it being spread out like that. So I think Father Howie describes it as, well, we can go to a concert and hear this stuff, or you can see it as it was originally intended. He said it's kind of like the difference between seeing a nice suit of clothes on a hanger, or actually seeing it on like a mannequin or a person, even more seeing it as it's intended to be.
When would this have been composed?
Late 1500s, early 1600s. He was one of the first Germans to go to Italy and study. There's a long tradition of, like Schütz, and a lot of them went to Venice, and that's where he went to Venice and studied with Andrea Gabrielli and met other famous Italian composers, and Giovanni Gabrielli. They wrote a piece together, actually. And so he absorbed a lot of the Venetian, even the polychoral style, but not just that, the whole kind of Italian madrigal tradition with its really sensitive treatment of text and deep concern for declamation and hearing the text. And so he goes back home, and he's a Protestant, actually, but he ends up working in Augsburg for a wealthy Catholic family there, and he wrote like 9 masses that would have been used for that family, and he wrote a number of these motets. And so we've got this parody mass on his motet, Dixit Maria, and we're going to recreate, to the best of our ability, in Bloomsburg, what the first performance of that piece might have sounded like in Augsburg.
And would there have been a dedicated choir then?
Oh, yeah, there would have been I guess you would call it the professional house choir, men and boys, that type of thing. And there wasn't the, y'all come church choir like we might have today, or the volunteer church choir. It was like you were a paid singer in the chapel, or you were like a boy soprano, probably, like at St. Thomas, where Bach was, with the Bach Festival coming up this weekend, where you were kind of trading your singing for schooling, that type of thing.
When you are working with students, how do you approach helping them inhabit the music? Because it isn't the same.
Oh, in some ways, this is the hardest music to sing if you don't do it a lot. At least I've always felt that way. Like when people are doing the same thing, they're singing the same words at the same time, moving together at the same time. Even if you don't read music, you can remember what a harmony sounds like, and you just use your ear and you sing the harmony. Because this music is based on what we call the imitation style, where everyone is kind of singing the melody but at different times, and so the words are not lined up, the rhythms are not lined up, and it's... I guess you call it counterpoint, but it's one of the more difficult things in choral singing. I would always think that it takes longer to teach a piece, that kind of piece, even if the harmonies are more simple than maybe just something that might have more complex harmonies, but everyone is doing the same words at the same time. But again, that's what makes this music so beautiful, is that kind of, I hear something, I like it, and then, I hear it again. It, just these echoing, overlaying kind of... I love it.
Anything else, then?
We're also going to sing the Vittoria Ave Maria. It's really not by Vittoria. It's probably by a man named Handel. not George Frideric, but it's sometimes called Gallus. But it kind of came to fame in the 20th century early choral publications as, oh, this is the Ave Maria of Victoria. And lots of people probably sang this in like honor choirs and stuff like that. It's a really beautiful piece, again, that's kind of based on the Gregorian chant. And so the Ave Maria is one of the, it's one of the proper texts. We should be singing it in Gregorian chant, but we don't really know how those motets were used. You know, they wrote all these motets in the Renaissance, and we really don't have any specific kind of paper trail to say, oh, this is how they were used and where they were used. We just know that, well, they must have been used. So we're just going to sub that one in and get one more nice piece of Renaissance polyphony into the evening.
Dr. Alan Baker, professor of choral and vocal music at Bloomsburg University and artistic director of the Lyric Consort, speaking with us about a special performance of the Missa Dixit Maria by late Renaissance composer Hans Leo Hassler that will be presented at St. Paul's Episcopal Church, 101 East Main Street in Bloomsburg, this Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock. Featured will be the Lyric Consort, Northeast Pennsylvania's professional a cappella vocal ensemble under Dr. Baker's direction, and students of Dr. Baker from Bloomsburg University. At St. Paul's Episcopal Church, Main and Iron Streets, 101 East Main Street in Bloomsburg, and that's Wednesday, March 29th at 6 in the evening.